Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Preparing for Disaster in America, on Tuesday, June 18th, 2013. I'm your host, Joe Terry, and the South Bay Show is brought to you by Tapas and Vino. Located in the heart of Riviera Village, Tapas and Vino offers an idyllic location to meet and eat and has quickly become a favorite destination of local foodies. This charming bistro offers an eclectic menu of small plates, salads, soups, and entrees for lunch and dinner daily. In addition, brunch is served every Saturday and Sunday with endless, yes, that's right, endless mimosas and bellinis. The popular outdoor patio boasts a vibrant scene each evening and features live music every Tuesday night. The extensive wine list offers varietals from regions around the globe, and brew enthusiasts will appreciate the comprehensive beer selection. Tapas and Vino is currently running a Not Just Tapas and Vino campaign. For listeners of the South Bay Show, mention the South Bay Show or South Bay by Jackie and receive 25% off a lunch or Saturday and Sunday brunch entree. Be sure to visit the Tapas and Vino Facebook page for weekly specials and discounts. Tapas and Vino is located at 1729 South Catalina Avenue in Redondo Beach. For more information, visit the website at tapasyvino.com. That's TAPASYVINO, tapasyvino.com, or call 310-791-8200. That's 310-791-8200. You can find out more about us at facebook.com/The South Bay Show or visit our website at thesouthbayshow.com. Preparing for disaster in America, this is a subject that can never be treated lightly, but we do our best to make it interesting, engaging, and yes, even entertaining to learn the few key skills and primary information that could save your life, your family's lives, that of a neighbor in a time of crisis, or the life of a treasured pet. Our mission is to engage hearts and minds and build knowledge and skills to help you prepare for whatever may come. This show is a true collaboration with solid roots in the community and a partnership with the Official Disaster Preparation Establishment. Our producer is the president of the local Manhattan Beach Community Emergency Response Team Association, Mr. George Butts. Hey, George, how are you doing today?
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, listeners. I'm fine, thank you very much. Looking forward to today.
Good, good, good. And, of course, with us today is owner, producer, writer of SouthBayByJackie.com, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well this morning, Joe. Good morning, George.
Good morning.
Good morning to both of you, and this is kind of a landmark. We're going to be doing a lot of landmark shows, I think, this year and this season as we move into summer. This show is a great show because it highlights one of the things that we sort of was our goal initially, which was to revisit areas around the country and also revisit guests and get little updates. And who's our guest today, Jackie?
Our guest this morning is Freddie Zelaya. Freddie was on our show a year ago to discuss those pesky hurricanes they experienced in Florida. He's been the emergency management coordinator for the city of Fort Lauderdale since April 2007. Freddie began his career in emergency management 15-16 years ago, about right after Hurricane Andrew. In 1998, he was given the opportunity to serve the community of Miami-Dade County, working for the American Red Cross of Greater Miami and the Keys chapter as a human resources and volunteer management specialist. Freddie then went on to work for Seaboard Marine as a human resources specialist and had the opportunity to assist with the aftermath of 9/11 in New York City. In 2002, he returned to the American Red Cross of Greater Miami as disaster management coordinator and was then recruited to work for the city of Fort Lauderdale as the emergency management coordinator. His responsibilities include mitigation, planning, response, and recovery of all hazardous materials within the city of Fort Lauderdale. Welcome back to the program, Freddie. We are so glad you could join us this morning.
Thank you guys for having me back. It's a pleasure to be on your show again.
Well, it's a great pleasure that you joined us again, Freddie, because when we had you on the show a year ago, that was really a turning point for us. I think we talked about that before the show and after the show, how we were pleased that we'd expanded, you know, all the way across the country to the East Coast, and that we started talking with emergency managers and emergency management coordinators like yourself, because that's really what we wanted to do. The vision that we had, that George had when he started thinking about producing the show, was to get the real inside information from emergency management coordinators like yourself who are on the front lines every day. So, Freddie, thank you so much. So now, the first question that I have is just a simple one for those people that follow the show or those people that may want to go back and revisit the show from a year ago. Tell us some of the things that you've dealt with in the past year, and how have things changed, Freddie?
Sure. Some of the disasters that we've dealt here in Florida, of course, we had the close call of a couple of tropical storms last mm-hmm. year. Mm-hmm. Not just the tropical storms, but during Hurricane Sandy, who passed about 200 miles away from the Florida, Miami area. Mm-hmm. Off the coast, created a lot of headaches for our beaches, where we lost a lot of the beach because of the beach erosion and the high tides. So we've dealt with some flooding. We've dealt also with some heavy rains in our areas, which caused some flooding back in October of last year as well. Mm-hmm. So we've dealt with a couple of areas in that aspect. And then also we've had a new emergency manager in our city, which just went through the ranks through our fire department, puts us in a position of having somebody to learn the emergency management manager position. And on top of that, new government. When I say new government, new city manager. Our city manager is well-rounded in emergency management, understands it. He sits on the FEMA Preparedness Council, appointed by the administrator for FEMA. Mm-hmm. So he has a great understanding of emergency management. So that's a plus for us in our emergency management program here in the city of Fort Lauderdale. So those have been some of the changes that we have encountered in the last year since we were last on your show.
Right. Now, of course, most people, when they think of Hurricane Sandy, which was about October 20th or 22nd of 2012, it was the most destructive hurricane of the 2012 Atlantic hurricane season. Most people think of New Jersey and Rockaway Beach and other places in New York that were devastated and damaged, but when a hurricane like that even goes by at 200 miles out to sea, it erodes your beach and brings that much flooding to Fort Lauderdale?
Yeah, because it's just not the hurricane itself. It's the combination of the autumn tides plus the position of the moon when you have a full moon, uh-huh. plus the hurricane, all added up together, just created a big mess. We lost our seawall.
Right.
On portions of the beach, and we had anywhere between 10 to 15 feet of sand on our A1A.
Wow.
So we, you know, the combination of what we call Mother Nature all at once hitting us on a big punch is what caused some of that beach erosion.
Right. Well, that's why they called it Superstorm Sandy, because it was a combination of events that occurred all at once to produce such a monster storm.
15 feet of sand on 81A?
Yes.
Wow.
And I got to tell you, if you guys have a website, I could show you some of the pictures that we, and we could post it if you guys would like to, on your websites. We had, we thought we were never going to find A1A, how much sand and water we had. So it was a lot of sand. The beach erosion, the tides, we've never seen the beach. Waves up to 20 feet up in the high that we thought, wow, we thought we were getting hit with the hurricane itself, but it was 200 miles away from our coast. I mean, way away from our coast.
Right.
So it made us busy for a non-hurricane event in our area.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Now this is another question that I was anxious to ask you when I heard that we were going to have you on again was, one of the things that's happened in the last year that I think that's been significant is that it's not slowed down. The position of emergency management coordinator, if it were not available or not filled in a city, is starting to be filled in cities all over the country where it had not been before. We've talked to educators in local universities and community colleges that are starting to have emergency management coordinator tracks that train and then give people a degree in emergency management science. Even there's a track in emergency management science. Have you noticed how your profession has grown up in the last year?
Oh yeah, it's actually starting to kind of bloom. If you compare it back to 2001, right after the hurricane attack, terrorist attacks, emergency management I would say that the public safety arena kind of woke up and said that this is an area that is very important and needed within the structure of government, and the aspect of response, so that you could respond even on the mitigation and the preparedness aspect of emergency management is important, so that you could respond and then also recover the actual community from a disaster. And that's the main goal of emergency management, is to ensure that the coordination occurs so that we could recover the local community and have the local community get back on its feet. So I have seen major universities and major colleges even bring emergency management has an actual either school or an actual institute, the actual courses within their programs,
which
I find very, very important to those that want to go into the emergency management careers.
Right. Well, that's what we have noticed. It's exploding around the country. It's become a very appropriate track for we talked to one gentleman, a very appropriate track for people that have military experience. It's a great career for someone who has military experience to go into, because often they would have had that kind of experience where they drilled on preparation and different kinds of organizational skills that they have appropriately apply when you need an emergency management coordinator. So this is great. This is wonderful. What other things can you tell us that maybe I wouldn't know that has changed for you in the last year? Prior to our last conversation, you had been an emergency management coordinator for a few years already. What new things have come up? Technology, skills, resources have come up in the last year that you think are notable?
I think a lot of the we're seeing a lot of the trend is the social media. Social media has been wonderful with disasters, everything from the Joplin disasters and the tornadoes all the way to the bombings of the Boston Marathon. Social media has assisted us in trying to get the word out to the local community. And a lot of the community nowadays with technology has looked at local social media venues or opportunities out there to go back into their local governments and see if they have social media, either police or fire or emergency management or their local governments. And I would highly recommend that anybody that has a smartphone, which 99% of the population does nowadays, find their local social media outlets within their local government or fire or emergency management to keep informed during a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the way that it's happening nowadays, is the social media avenue. And then on the other aspect of some of the changes that we've had to kind of think about down the line is a little bit more of awakening of how we conduct our special events because of the recent bombings in Boston. So we've looked at, especially in our city, how we conduct special intelligence throughout the community, and we have tightened a little bit more of our intel within law enforcement, fire, and emergency management so that we are prepared in the event of any terrorist attacks and anybody wanting to do any harm in our special events throughout the city. And we have major special events throughout the city, like Boston does with the marathon throughout the year.
Yeah. Okay. So, is this an official kind of a thing? Do you think that lessons learned in Boston are being applied around the country, or is this something that you specifically in Fort Lauderdale are doing on your own, trying to tease out lessons that you can apply?
I think these are key lessons that in the emergency management community, and I'm talking about the entire nation, takes a look at, just like Hurricane Sandy, and we look at the different aspects, you know, how responses occur around the nation, and we take a look at those after-action reports, and we take a look at how the response could be improved down the road in any disaster that we do in the emergency management or public safety arena. We look at after-action reports so that we could say, you know what, we need to improve in this training, or we need to maybe add this to the response capability, or we need to look at a buying an asset that we don't have, such a piece of equipment, or even hiring more personnel during during an event or even after an event. Taking a look at those after-action reports helps us to improve our response all the way around.
Now, I just want to make an announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Freddie Zelaya, Fort Lauderdale, Florida's Emergency Management Coordinator. And this is an excellent opportunity if you're interested in any aspect of this area of city government, local city government, any aspect. It's an excellent opportunity to ask Freddie a question. Please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. We're thrilled to have Freddie with us, and he is such a resource. So please give us a call and ask a question or make a comment. Freddie, one of the things that I think
George. Public service announcement.
Yes.
Now, all right, yeah, because I don't get to talk much here. But I have just been notified by my service provider that Wells Fargo's, their email system may have been hacked. And there are a number of Wells Fargo emails that are being sent out with an attached zip file with an .exe file inside. If anybody's listening, do not open that file. Just delete it.
Wow.
And that's it for this public service announcement. But I'm sending it out to the membership. And if you know people, you may want to send that out also.
Yeah, wow. That's timely. And you know, that goes along partly with what Freddie was saying, George. I think he's saying that many cities, and I know that this is true, are trying to get their social media act together. They're trying to utilize social media as a conduit for broadcasting information. And that's great. And under normal circumstances, that's going to work very, very well. They're going to touch all the people that want to be informed about when there's some major incident. Those people will be informed. But when the incident involves sort of damage to the infrastructure, or when the incident overwhelms the internet and social media, as we've talked, George, then there's a need for some more survivable technology like texting and the SMS world. But Freddie, I want to ask you: do you know, or have you looked at more CCTV cameras? Because as everyone knows that has followed any of the Boston Marathon bombing news, one of the key pieces of evidence was security camera footage that allowed us to see and pick out who the bombers were, and in part led to their arrest. Although, as everyone also knows, their arrest really boiled down to a almost chance traffic stop, which is how a lot of crimes are solved. But do you, as a part of the city government of Fort Lauderdale, do you think about adding more closed-circuit television cameras to sensitive areas or to public areas to try to get more information if an event occurs after the fact?
That aspect, I'm not on the law enforcement aspect, sure. And that would be more of a law enforcement aspect to... to talk about, but I know that we do put in place the necessary equipment and surveillance when there is special events, so that we have those means to take a look at should something happen at a special event. I know that we also utilize our DOT, which is our Department of Transportation, cameras throughout the city. Right. And throughout different major roads that we have. So the resources are available and the resources are there, and they'll be utilized accordingly depending on the event.
Right. I just a few months ago was talking with a friend who had been to England and was vacationing there for a short time, and we were talking about the difference. Of course, England has had a long history of domestic violence, with the result being that they are heavily surveilling almost 24/7 most public areas, and some of that footage is actually being viewed live, and of course all of it's being recorded. And that has helped them in their society manage risks, and it's also been accepted as a part of their society. It would be a different story here in the U.S. We have no idea how extensive the surveillance is here. Of course, recent news reports show that even without our knowledge, and we're not talking about video, but we're talking about Verizon and other carriers have cooperated with the government in surveilling phone calls without the knowledge of subscribers, and that's recently been reported. Do you believe that emergency management for your job, not law enforcement, but it has anything to do with surveillance or tapping phones or anything like that? Do you think that that's really relevant, or is more of your job the preparation aspect, and then of course putting those plans into place when a disaster occurs?
Yeah, no, that's more of the law enforcement arena. We don't We don't do any of that on that aspect in emergency management. Like you said, we mostly take a look at how can we better the plan and how can we better the response and the recovery of the community, and that's where we kind of focus our attention more on.
Right. Well, we are thrilled to have you with us. I'd love to discuss any other aspects of what you do, Freddie, that we haven't talked about. Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you'd like to share with people way over here on the West Coast? Some of the things that you guys are doing that are innovative that you think that maybe we might want to emulate over here on the West Coast?
As always, and George probably knows this, he knows I'm going to plug this in because I'm a CERT or a community emergency response junkie.
Yeah.
I would highly recommend I highly recommend that you go out and if you have not been in a disaster situation, want to get trained, want to help your local community, want to help your local fire department, that you create a plan for you to be ready for you and your family, that you have a communication plan, and then also that you go out and volunteer and be part of that response that allows you to be ready for a disaster and then also help your neighbor. And that community emergency response team training will open up a great avenue of understanding how to help your community and your neighbors. So take that opportunity. I know your local fire departments in your communities and even George with his CERT association and the other localized community groups, fire, police, even emergency management, take a look at taking one of those courses. In our community nowadays, we're looking at anywhere between an average of 30 to 40 members per class, because people want to be part of the actual instead of sitting there and going, where's my local government? I want to be part of that solution. How do I get my city back into functioning normal? And how can I be part of that? So they want to volunteer. So go out there, volunteer, assist your local neighbors, and be part of CERT. I think it's a great program.
Community.
Woo-hoo. Another public service announcement.
And George did not pay for that, by the way.
That's right. I am thrilled. Now we have two community emergency response team association like cheerleaders on the East Coast and the West Coast. So now we're closing in.
I'm willing to bet. I know that there are hundreds or thousands more out there that just may not have the opportunity to.
They don't
chat
have a radio
online
show
and express our views.
They don't have a radio show, so.
Yeah.
When you look back, I mean, over your career now, long-term vision. When you look back over your career, and specifically community emergency response and how that's grown up, what lessons would you think that we should learn from the growth that this always was a need? I mean, there have always been hurricanes. There have always been a threat to Fort Lauderdale. But why has it taken, as long as it has for this kind of your position to really be as established as it is and getting more established and all the academic avenues that are available to young people now to basically train to be Freddie Zelaya?
and that's a great question, because I was recently at Atlanta Airport and we were going through the security checkpoint, and my girlfriend turned around and said, "Do you ever recall what happened before 9/11? Did we ever have to stop at a TSA agent who checked our tickets and our ID and then told us to take off our shoes and take off our belts and everything else and take our laptops off and then literally have to go through a scanner? And now they scan even for any powder in your hands with the new security measures that are put in place now through TSA. And we were talking about that, and it's funny that you asked me that question, because what really changed and opened the eyes of the public safety community was the fact that 9/11 occurred. And after 9/11, there was no coordination of emergency management, or it wasn't out in the spotlight. And it actually takes, unfortunately, I hate to say this, but it actually takes a disaster for your local government to actually say, wow, look, we do have these assets. Oh, wow, look, we have an emergency manager, we have an emergency coordinator. Even though it's out there, has an educational opportunity for the community to take and become an emergency manager or even an emergency coordinator, sometimes we're still in that dark side where they don't see us as the important person that is going to coordinate and facilitate the response and the recovery of the city or the local government. And that is something that I think needs to be brought up more in the spotlight, that we're not constantly just sitting here waiting for a hurricane. It could be an event like a tornado or a flood or any type of hazards that could occur in the community. And if you have an emergency management program, that emergency manager or coordinator will be the one coordinating all those responses and resources. So the whole highlight of the terrorist attack is what brought out the emergency management coordinators and managers out into the spotlight. And that's what has brought this profession out to the spotlight, is the fact that we need more coordination, more training, and there's going to be more responses due to, you know, hurricanes and tornadoes and knock on wood, more terrorist attacks if there's any. But we have to be ready for that.
Freddie, what are we looking at this year, hurricane wise?
Wow!
It looks like it's going to stack up to be a nasty year.
George, that's a good question, Freddie.
We'll do it right after commercial.
Right after a station break. We're talking with Freddie Zelaya, Fort Lauderdale, Florida Management Coordinator, Emergency Management Coordinator for the city of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Freddie Zelaya, and we're having a great discussion. And we'd like to thank a sponsor at this point. Jackie, who are we thanking today?
I thought you guys forgot about me. I was just sitting here being quiet, listening, and I figured you forgot about me. All right, guys, you know, it's never too early to begin planning your financial future. When it comes to protecting your assets and hard-earned dollars, you'll want experienced professionals with a proven track record and flawless reputation on your team. Briganti, Cameron, Waters & Strong, certified public accountants and consultants, is the largest full-service accounting firm in the South Bay, and they are dedicated to providing professional services of the highest quality. The partners are South Bay residents deeply committed to serving the communities where they live, work, and play. They support a variety of local nonprofit organizations such as Skate Park PV, Palos Verdes Peninsula Land Conservancy, the Torrance South Bay YMCA, Palos Verdes Rotary, and Pediatric Therapy Network, among others. BCWS prides itself on providing national accounting technical experience with the personal attention of a local company. This commitment to uphold high standards of excellence has proven key to their success and first-rate reputation. Their ultimate goal and reward is to see their clients achieve financial success as they define it, whether that means helping them to reduce their tax burden, assisting them with planning to ensure their financial security, succession planning, exit strategies, and wealth transfer. The partners and professionals of BCWS are committed to providing their clients with the expertise and guidance they need to reach their financial goals. Call 310-542-0011 for a free consultation and visit the website at www.bcws.com.
Okay. So, George, that's a great transition, and of course, that's the right question. Freddie, what is the season looking like?
Well, they predicted 12 to 17 named storms, anywhere with 5 to 7 storms becoming hurricanes, named hurricanes or hurricanes itself. So they like always, they always predict an active or above active year, and but that's not really the focus in emergency management when we look at a hurricane season. We always are under the notion that it only takes one storm to wipe you out. And if you look at back at 1992, it only took Hurricane Andrew to hit South Florida in South Dade or the Homestead area and actually wipe out the entire area. So it only takes one storm to hit you and really do damage to your community. So it could be at the beginning, which we already saw one tropical storm on the Gulf form and head up north into the, you know, east area, southeast area. But it only takes one storm, and it looks above average. We've been lucky in South Florida for the past 6 years that I've been in my position, going on 7 now. But we haven't had any storms, and hopefully, you know, we're ready. We're prepared. We continue to be prepared, and we continue to try to get the message out to the community to just get ready, and not focus on that. You know, is it going to be above average or below average year? Because it only takes one storm to actually devastate the community.
Right. So, you know, immediately the question comes to mind. Immediately, you know, these hurricanes come every year. Is there a progressive preparation, lack of building on the coast? Is there anything that Floridians do to sort of adjust as these hurricanes continue to pound them year after year after year, or is it just life as usual?
There's not. I mean, life goes on. You like you see in these areas where you have Tornado Alley, you know, you get devastated and you continue rebuilding. You rebuild a little smarter. Again, after actions, things that didn't go as planned allow us to rebuild a little smarter. The only downfall to that is the fact that, you know, when you don't have a storm hitting your coast every year, people kind of lay back a little and they relax a little more and say, oh, well, last year nothing happened, so we're going to hope this year nothing happens. Right. So we continue to push the preparedness. And we continue to push the preparedness not just for hurricane season, but all hazards, because you could have a storm in our hands. We could have, you know, a flooding in our community. And really, that's our message out to everybody. It's like, just don't look at those 6 months of the year, but here are all the disasters that could happen in our community, and we have to be ready for those as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You are right there, I mean, just north of Miami,
yeah.
Right there at the tip of Florida, southern Florida. I mean, Tampa, and, you know, all Orlando, Gainesville, mm-hmm. Jacksonville, all those places are far north of you.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a divide between Tampa and north and Tampa and south in terms of how you have to prepare for these major disasters in terms of your job? Is your job different in Tampa or Gainesville or Jacksonville because they're so far north?
No. They're similar jobs. However, the only difference is the hazards that you would find in those communities. For example, I've got two major airports in the city of Florida. I have an international airport, although it does not fall under the jurisdiction of the city. However, the flight paths go over the city, and therefore it creates a hazard in the event that a plane crashes. And then I also have a huge port in a convention center within the city, although, again, it's not part of our jurisdictional responsibility, but it does create an emergency should something happen on a cruise ship or a fire or some kind of a emergency at the port. So depending on the hazards, vulnerabilities within your community, your emergency management program is going to fluctuate on how those responses and how you educate your community about preparedness. So if I'm at the beach speaking to a group about, you know, hurricane season or any type of hazards, I'm going to touch upon those areas that are going to be vulnerable to that, to that community. So that's basically what we do, is we take a look at, you know, you could send me to Orlando and I would have to do an analysis of what vulnerabilities are within that area, so that I could bring my emergency management program and prepare that community accordingly to that, those vulnerabilities.
A very professional answer.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, now this is a strange question, I know, but it's something that occurs to us out here on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when people say, you know, you guys have fires, you have floods, mm-hmm. you have, you know, earthquakes. We often think we're in a bubble here in Southern California because, yeah, we have those disasters, but they're not as devastating as the floods have been this year, or the hurricanes and Tornado Alley have been just horrendous in Oklahoma and northern Texas and Arkansas. So in your area, though, do you see the impact? Do you feel the impact of what we generally describe as global warming, as a rise in sea levels? Is that affecting you in Fort Lauderdale?
That's another good question. I know our mayor here in the city of Fort Lauderdale and some of the cities in Broward County and also Miami-Dade, even some of our assistant city managers have started forming groups to work on the aspects of global warming and the climate change and the sea level rising. Some folks say and experts say that no, it's not. Yes, it is. It's back and forth. But there are studies out there that have been conducted that we are seeing that they have shown us that there is a possibility between now and 2020, just to give you a number, half of our coast might not be there.
Mm.
So those are issues with, again, putting it all together with the rising of the sea and the autumn tides and a full moon and so on, and pushing the coast back like it did with Hurricane Sandy, just to give you an example, allows us to take a look at an aspect of emergency management where we are going to have to prepare for that. Should we have to evacuate folks? Should we have to shelter folks? Should folks have to move?
Mm-hmm.
Because the worst thing that we want in emergency management is to have our residents have to move either to another city or another county or even another state because of that aspect.
Scientists may argue, mm-hmm. politicians may put their head in the sand or scream from the top of a mountain how dangerous everything is, but city managers, mayors, mm-hmm. emergency management coordinators, people on the ground who manage these disasters year in and year out. Mayor Bloomberg has famously quipped last year during Hurricane Sandy that we can't have 100-year storms every 10 years. It will overwhelm city resources and city services. Do you see that? I mean, is global warming a reality in your opinion?
In my personal opinion, I went again, not as an emergency manager, but as a personal opinion, mm-hmm. yes, I think it's there.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening. The changes are occurring. Mother Nature is saying, I want my land back. Mm-hmm. You, and this is my personal opinion, you built on it, I want it back, and she's going to come out and get it. And again, now putting my emergency management hat on that aspect, we have to be prepared for that. We have to understand what are going to be the causes and effects to the ocean potentially pushing inland, so that we prepare a plan on what to do with those folks. This is just like if we had a hurricane. We know we have to evacuate the coast. So what happens if those folks are affected? do we want them to pack their bags and move to California, which shouldn't, you know, we don't want that to happen because we lose our residents and we lose, you know, economy is affected and impacted. But what we want to do is ensure that we are prepared as an emergency management in the city to respond to that.
Right. Absolutely. Well, George, if you have any further questions for Freddie, or if you want to jump into your announcements, or Jackie, did you want to do the announcements or an announcement?
Yeah, I just have one quick one I wanted to squeeze in here. This Thursday, June 20th, Joe, as you're well aware, we are going to be celebrating a milestone of sorts. This Thursday is the 100th edition of the South Bay by Jackie Weekend Guide.
Wow.
Which everybody has come to depend on.
Wow.
So we're going to celebrate that little milestone by having a special show. We're doing the first annual, the first annual South Bay Trivia Challenge.
Right.
And the trivia is going to be based on people, places, events that we've highlighted in the guide and on this show over the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have a guest panel, and we're going to have people calling in to give answers, and we're going to have prizes.
Yay!
We've got some really good prizes, so everybody tune in right here, same bat channel, same bat time, Thursday morning, 7 a.m.
Great.
You become syndicated, huh?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
George?
Very good. Very good. Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, well, first off, before Thursday morning show on Wednesday evening, join our own Jackie Balestra for Women's Self-Defense Class, which is free. It is at Fitness Evolution, 200 North Harbor Drive in Redondo Beach, 7 p.m., Triton Room, second floor. And it's for all of your daughters, mothers, sisters, nieces, friends. It will empower, inform, and be fun. Jackie, anything special going on other than, you know, 3 weeks ago you beat the crap out of some guy in a big fat suit?
Yes, it's funny. I've got guys lining up to do that. Go figure. They come
okay.
up to me.
Okay. Right. I am smart. My mother did not raise a fool. I will not do that. All right. And then coming up on this coming Saturday, we still have five openings for our CERT organization is putting on a Red Cross CPR AED training at the Police and Fire Community Center at 415th Street. And it is from, we have openings in the afternoon from 1 to 5. It is a 4-hour class. It's $45 as opposed to a $70-plus class. Learn how to save a life and help somebody while you're out just wandering the streets at any one time. So if anybody's interested, of course, you can contact me at info@mbcerta.org. for information on that. And then next month, July 27th, is our CERT annual meeting and family picnic. We're actually working on putting together something a little more than just our regular run out in the park type games. We had some fire department games last fall, and we're looking to incorporate some more of those. Lots of prizes to be given out, lots of fun and great food with our fire department, and that is on July 27th, a Saturday, from 10 to 3 at Pollywog Park in Manhattan Beach. Nothing specific yet, but lots of training being planned both with fire department, where they're going to actually be training us and training with us. And then we're also working on some communication, some incident command system, some tabletop exercises that are all being put together all at the same time that we will be offering up to ourselves for our city and the Beach City's joint CERT organization to come join us also. Mm-hmm. So that there's more to come, but no specific dates just yet. And that's all I've got right now, this week.
Okay.
CERT in Manhattan Beach.
Okay. Well, this is quite a milestone as well. I mean, we're all this year, really, we've been getting close to and having some guests back that we wanted to have back, and having you back, Freddie, I think this year is really a turning point. We had a great show last year. This show has been equally great, and we look forward to many more to come.
Well, I hope so. I want to reach 100 someday.
Yeah. we hope, Freddie, to do this every year, because it is great to just stay in touch with and take a checkpoint with you in Fort Lauderdale. Are you happy in your job? Are you gonna stay there for many years for us?
No, he's gonna say no.
You know, as long as we continue having disasters, you know, I'm okay. But yeah, I'm very happy with my job. I like the aspect of emergency management, and I look forward to doing as many as you guys continue to invite me. I'm here. George has my contact information. You guys are always welcome. Any topic you want to talk about in emergency management, CERT, volunteer, then disasters, anything you want to talk about, I'm here for you guys.
Right. Now, you met George on LinkedIn, right?
No,
I met George.
We met at the Emergency Management Institute when I was there a year ago, March.
Oh. April.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. We spent 5 days in classes together.
Yep.
Wow. Well, now, that's even more special. This has been a great run. We've had some amazing guests and great shows, and we feel that these documents, these recordings are very useful for people that want to learn about this area. We're very proud of this show, and thank you so much, Freddie, for joining us today. And I don't have any other crazy questions, like, does Freddie believe in global warming or anything like that? What would be a normal question? I don't know. George, do you have any questions for Freddie?
I don't. So your mayor is Jack Seiler?
Jack Seiler, yes.
Seiler, okay.
Yes.
Because I did a Joe thing here where I went and Googled photos of A1A sand in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get to that in the city of Fort Lauderdale, it shows a lot of what they've been doing. It looks like they're building an extremely tall seawall there also.
Yeah, they're reconstructing that that area where the seawall was all destroyed. Like I mentioned earlier, I'll send you, George, some pictures of of us standing on the actual sand and almost touching the actual traffic lights. That's how high the sand went. You will see how the actual tall "Do Not Park Here" sign that goes about maybe 8-10 feet up, so you could see it from the street level. You're actually like right next to it. So, and you'll see how the entire beach could kind of just push into A1A. And you guys could share those photos with on your Facebook or anywhere on your show and your links.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're putting these monster flat. I mean, we're going steel. It's not a little snow fence like we would put up in upstate New York to try to break up the wind. They're constructing some monster walls there.
Yep.
So, anyway, I look forward to seeing those, and we certainly appreciate you coming back on. And just so you know, I actually did I received a Wells Fargo email, and it's a guarantee, I tell you.
Wow.
Delete it. Do not open. Delete it.
Yeah. Yep. So I already have, and it looks quite real.
Wow.
But I know that it's not, and I have already deleted it. So, all right.
Great. This is Freddie a great benefit to us. I know people in Fort Lauderdale should know and will now know from this show and the previous show that their emergency management coordinator is one of the best trained and most prepared emergency management coordinators in Southern Florida. You have such a command of what goes on there. We really appreciate your joining us today, Freddie.
Thank you. Thank you for having me again, and I look forward to next year, on your show again.
Well, thank you very much for saying that, and it's a joy to have you. Now, George, we're going to have to come up with new questions for Freddie for next year, though.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
I have a whole year to think about it, don't I?
Yes, we do.
It's going to be here way too fast. I certainly can guarantee that, though.
I was excited for Freddie to come and looking forward to the show, and now I'm thinking, well, okay. I've asked all the big questions. So, Freddie, you're married, yes?
No. Actually, I'm in a relationship with my girlfriend, who I met, unfortunately, working as the emergency management coordinator the day of New Year's Eve.
Oh.
She was out partying, and I got the opportunity to, be there as a public safety person working with our CERT members. And I encountered her, and I've started a relationship. We're at a year and a half now.
Okay.
So, yep.
Excellent.
Yep.
Well, that's good. It's good. I'm sure your mother is very happy about that.
Yes.
You started that.
Have her call me. I'll talk to her.
Yeah, I don't think so, George.
I remember that day up on the stage.
I don't know what you're talking about, George.
Okay. No, it's.
We better end this show before information gets out there that shouldn't be out there.
Yeah, we're getting a little bit personal here, but we want to get to know Freddie. We want to know him. He's
no.
On the other side of the country.
We're
here in Southern California.
I want to know his girlfriend.
All right, now, George.
And I'm calling Linda.
Yeah.
No. We're just, it's always nice to know that you have people across the country.
Right.
And Freddie, just so you know, you've always got people out here in Southern California.
Thank you. I appreciate that, and we likewise, anything for you guys from over there that we could do for you, we're here.
Yeah, come visit the other sand.
Yeah.
We're gonna keep in touch with you. We're gonna follow the events of hurricane season, and as you said, there were potentially 12 major events, maybe up to 5 hurricanes. We'll check in with you as these events unfold, and that makes our show much more relevant when we can check in with you there in Fort Lauderdale and really get a personal account of what's going on and what preparations are being made. It's a great benefit to everyone, perhaps even in Fort Lauderdale, but it's certainly a benefit to the people here in Southern California to see how other emergency management coordinators operate. So, Freddie Zelaya, Fort Lauderdale, Florida Emergency Management Coordinator, thank you for joining us today. It's been a great show, and we appreciate you, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
George, thank you for joining us.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Jackie. Freddie, thank you so much. Nice to chat with you again.
Thank you, George.
Jackie, thank you for joining us.
George stole my line.
Oh, yes. It's a good line. That's a first.
It's my line.
What was that?
A TV show.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
Line.
Okay.
Right. Bye-bye, everybody.